as a body. You know, there's a reason why he commanded us to do this. It's for encouragement. You know, look, if I come here to speak and just one person's here, I'm going to speak. But if I come here and there's 10 or 20, whatever number may be, you know, it encourages me. You know, it encouraged me to come out and to study and to pray and make sure that I'm sharing the right stuff, the stuff that I need to share. And tonight, you know, I'm 100% sure this is what God wanted me to speak. You know, through confirmation, because this is what I tell the Lord. If you don't give me confirmation, I'm not speaking nothing. And I've done that already for one of the tour portion. But right after the tour portion was done, he gave me a little bit to share. So I did it. But I don't want to say anything that would hinder anybody from growing or upset anybody in any kind of way from my own understanding and the things that I want. Now, if I'm sharing a word that God gave me to upset you, then, look, there's nothing I can do about that, you know. But that's not my intentions. That's not my intentions. You know, I looked at this Torah portion, and it starts with walking in his status, in his statues, and it ends with walking in the light. And there's only one way we can walk in the light, and that's if we walk in his statues. So I thought that was pretty interesting that it would start with that, and it would finish with walking in the light. And what we're going to look at tonight, this is the thing that really stuck out in the Torah portion, and the reason why I did it, because it was something that the Lord kept reminding me of for a couple weeks. And it's the process that we go through. And the process that we go through costs. It's not free. It costs us something. And that's really the thing that he hit home with, is the cost. You know, the cost is the issue that we have. It's with the cost. You know, what it's going to cost us to follow Yeshua. That's the issue. And so we're going to go ahead and take a look at it. And so here we go. If you grow anything in a garden, it costs you something, right? What about if you're trying to build a business? It's going to cost you. What if you're trying to build a ministry? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you something. You see, it's going to cost you time, and it's going to cost you money. Any one of them. So what is going to cost you? So we're going to look at the cost. And I'm going to start off with something that we're very familiar with. We're familiar with seafood. All right, so let's say I'm selling shrimp. All right, I'm selling them in three different forms. I'm selling them whole for $3 a pound. I'm just throwing numbers out there. I'm selling them with the heads popped for $4 a pound, and I'm selling them peeled for $5 a pound. Well, it's going to cost you more. All right? So you see where I'm going with this. The more you process something, the more it's going to cost. So the more we go through the process, God takes us through the process, the more it's going to cost us. And remember, that's where the issue's at, the cost. It's the cost. The time. Not talking about money here, but we're talking about time. It costs us time. The more you process something, the more it'll cost. It becomes the same process when we are born again. The same thing. The more we go through the process of growing, the more it will cost us. Here's some of the things that it'll cost us. And again, this is where the issue is at right here. You know, I see it in my life. I see it in other people's lives. Here, people that are not here. You know, we see it because we're around each other. We see it. It will cost us time with family, time with friends. It may even cost some friendships. It may even cost some family members. Maybe some money. We can put money in there because, you know, there's times God wants us to spend money. He tells us to do something specifically that costs money. And sometimes we don't do it because we want that money for something else. Then there's the sacrifices. There's more. Then there's the sacrifices we make. We either sacrificing the things that God wants us to do, or we are sacrificing all the other stuff. It's one of the two. We either making the sacrifices God wants us to make, or we making sacrifices based on all these other things, and we put God on a back burner. Our desire, you know, God wants us, you know, he said in his word, he'll give us the desires of our heart, right? That's what he says. But we got to delight ourselves in him first. But this is where we get this mixed up. Our desire has to line up with the things that God desires for us. And how do we do that? We delight ourselves in him first. God's not going to change his mind and conform to our desires. No, he said we need to have the mind of Christ. Not Christ needs to have the mind of us. So as we go through the growth process, it will cost us. No doubt about it. It's going to cost us. So we're going to look at how we start and continue in the process of growth until it's completed. Because it will be completed one day. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we start with scripture, and the only way we finish the course is with scripture. That's the only way. There's no other way. Even though there's many out there, many teaching, there's only one way. We start with scripture, we finish with scripture until it's complete. 2 Timothy 4:7. And this is Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Man. Thank you, Lord. What drives us to grow? What drives us to grow? John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments or statutes. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The love of the Father is the driving force behind us obeying the laws and statutes, in turn produces growth. It's the love for the Father. That's what drives us. It has to be that. If it's anything else, it's artificial. It ain't going to last. It has to be the love for the Father. 2 John 1:6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, we project love towards one another by obeying him and doing our part, taking care of our responsibility, whatever responsibility God has given us. You know, that's ways of showing that we love each other, is that we do our part, because we're part of the same body. So we complement each other. And it encourages us whenever we see everybody doing their part, whatever it may be. You know, God doesn't leave anybody out. Everybody's included. And, you know, and it's not just the responsibility we have here. It's the responsibility we have to our husbands, our wives, our kids, our community, whatever ministry God called you to. That's what it is. It ain't just here. You know, I'm called to do prison ministry. And I'm not saying it for me to be glorified or anything, but that's one of my callings. But I'm not able to get into jail, so I write letters. But you know, that's my part. And by doing that, I'm showing everybody that I love y'all. That's what the scripture says. We do our part because we love each other. And the love of the Father is what drives us. And if the love of the Father is driving us, we want to do it. We want to do whatever it is he wants us to do. The long-haul attitude. We should view Christian growth as a lifelong process. Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are instructed to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, and that's in 1 Timothy 4:7, which is also an athletic metaphor. So there is no quick, easy, instantaneous way to get in top physical shape. You have to work at it every day, and the day you stop is the day you start going downhill. And think about it. We've all been through it. The day we stop ourselves from going through that process is the day we start going downhill. What is a mirror for? That's a crazy question, isn't it? I thought it was too. We all know what a mirror's for. Let's take a look. Let's see what the Bible says a mirror's for. James 1:23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. So it's to show you what you look like, right? You know, before I came to church tonight, I spent some time in the mirror. And I already know what some of y'all is thinking. I didn't spend enough time, but that's okay. I look good to my wife, so that's all that matters to me. In this passage, James specifies that it is the man who looks and walks away and forgets what he or she looks like. The function of the mirror is to show us accurately what we look like so that we can make any necessary changes. The function of the Bible is to show us accurately what we look like so that we can make any necessary changes. Same concept. Same concept. And if we're not doing that, because we should be, looking in the mirror. That way we can make the changes that we need to change, that we need to make. I'm going to read this. It's tragic when everyone else knows that Bob gossips, but Bob doesn't know it. It's tragic when everyone else knows that Betty has a tongue like a razor, but Betty doesn't know it. It's tragic when everyone else knows that Bert's spending far more money than he should, but Bert doesn't know it. The Bible is like a mirror. It shows us what we're like. It shows us where we need to change, and not only points out the need, it helps us change. But a mirror does you no earthly good unless you use it. Look in God's mirror. So, you know, if we don't like other folks seeing issues we have, maybe we need to look in the mirror and fix them. That's how I'm reading it. I'm reading this to me. If I don't like other people seeing my flaws, I need to look in the mirror and fix it. Because he says that he'll tell me. He'll tell me what my flaw is. But what happens is we don't fix it. And then somebody approaches us and we get upset. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't get upset because God tried to show us, but his grace, and he's extending his hand of mercy. Instead of just letting us go off into the wilderness, he sends somebody to us. He sends somebody to us to warn us and say, look, I know you've seen it, but I'm just letting you know I see it too. Let me move on here. The Bible is like nutrients and water for a plant. Without it, your growth will be stunted. Psalms 1:1. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Isaiah 58:11. This was in a Torah portion. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give you strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Thank you, Lord. To evaluate, you know, there's a way to evaluate our spiritual growth. You know, we can go to the fruits of the Spirit and look at it and ask yourself, am I growing in love? Am I growing in joy? Am I growing in peace? There's ways to look at it. So, if we are not growing, we have to make the necessary changes. We have to. It's vital. It's important. Because remember, whenever we stop growing, we're going downhill. We're not just staying there. We're going downhill. Growth often comes through trials. Just as physical strength is built through exertion and straining against resistance, spiritual strength is developed in the hard times of life. No pain, no gain, as we say. James gives encouragement. Thank you, James. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Thank you. Because growth comes through trials, Scripture also teaches we are to grow, we are not to grow weary in the process. Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So we're all important to the Father, no doubt about it. We all know that. You know that you're important to God. Because if you wouldn't be, we wouldn't be here. I thank God that I'm important to Him. Because I'm for certain I'd be dead. You know, I think about that often. All that crazy stuff. Crazy things I was involved in. And I look at other people. I can't even look at them now because they're 6 feet under. But I'm still here. You ever wondered that? Why in the world are we still here when other people are not? It's because we're important to God. He preserved us to further the message, to do our part. So glad He picked me. I'm so glad He picked you. We all gems in God's eyes, every one of us. But a gem cannot be polished without friction. You have to have friction. Thank you, Lord, for polishing us. Thank you. You know, the Bible will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the Bible. One of the two. Oh, how we need the Bible. We need His Word. Ain't no way we make it without the Word. No way. Let's pray.
Sorry, I'm not.
Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your grace, Lord, and your mercy. I don't know why, Father, you love us so much, but you do, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We're forever grateful, Lord, of your grace and your mercy on us, Father. You preserved us, Lord, for such a time as this, Father. And I pray right now, Father, that you anoint every one of us in here, Father, to do your work, Lord, the work that you've called us to, Lord. It's our turn, Father. And we just want to be used by you, Father, and we yield ourselves to you, Lord, to your word, Father, to your statutes, Lord. To your Spirit, Father, lead us and guide us by your Spirit, Lord, and by your Spirit of discernment, Lord. We need you, Father, more than anything, Lord. Nothing else will do, Father, only you. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for sending Yeshua, Lord, to die, to give us a second chance, Father, and a third chance, Lord, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you more than anything, Father. We need you. And we thank you, Father, for taking the time out, Lord, to visit us tonight, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. Yes. else. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.